Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and tonight we are talking waiver wire pickups and a bit of a review for round 18. It is the cusp of the fantasy finals. It's what we're all playing for. We know some of you out there have had their grand finals, and if you did win your league, please do tweet us on the Twitter there or post it up on social media. We want to see those trophies, people. And as always, is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, mate?
Don't crap, Jono. Don't crap. Just don't want to throw anyone's considering having a child. Just be aware that you are signing up to have a walking germ factory in your house. Because I think I've been sick more than I haven't been for the last months. And any time I get healthy, I'm basically just waiting to get friggin' sick again.
Can certainly sound it in your voice. It sounds like you're using one of those devices that muffles your voice when you're as a hostage situation going on or something like that. And Statesman, you seem up and about. Welcome to you, mate.
This is what it sounds like if you don't have children. Spectacular. Now, I've got a life lesson. If you remember very early in the preseason, we had a show called Don't Draft. And my number one pick was Gary Ablett. So I just want to throw this to you, gentlemen. He's missed four games. Let's say he misses one more. But he's ended up going to play 17 games out of 22, averaging 120. So for the games he misses out, you'll end up having to call someone from the waiver wire or one of your reserves. And let's say the highest averaging midfield I could find today was around that 70 mark. It was just above 70. So for the five games he misses out, you get your 70 points instead of your 120. That's fair enough, isn't it, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Which ends up meaning over the season that you're averaging, well, you've got a midfielder that averages 108. Now, that's still a good score, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, therefore, my theory was wrong. I should have drafted Gary Ablett. He's still pumping out the scores. Probably wasn't expecting an average 120. But do you reckon that's a decent theory, that you just go the high potential scorer? Yep, if they're going to miss a few games like a Beams or an Ablett, that you just cover it with your waiver wire and you're still ahead of the game if you pick someone that's just going to score in the 80s or 90s. That's fair, isn't it, gentlemen?
Yeah, for sure. Or if you're smart, you draft someone who you think can average a little bit more and use that bench cover there.
Oh, look, it comes down to value. That's what it comes down to. If you got back of the third or start of the fourth, that's perfectly fine. If you draft him in round one or two, then that's where it costs you.
But it's the base of a good theory, though, isn't it, gentlemen?
For sure.
Oh, replaceability, you know. Like, if you get a player who's suspended for two games at the start of the year, well, you're not playing a zero for that week, eh?
There is a point to me referencing this. And it's just that I wanted to make sure that you're quite clear that lunch meat, a.k.a. Mr. Devin Smith, was a better pickup than Stephen Motlop, someone averaging 80 versus someone averaging 87. So if you got someone on your waiver wire for the 5 weeks that Devin Smith was out, you would actually still be 122 points ahead.
Well, I picked up Josh Jenkins and Devin Smith. I'm pretty happy.
So, in other words, Pagia, whatever they're called these days, coming to me.
It's Palmer on this show. Anything else?
That wasn't my bet. You got no Palmer. You were betting for it. It was your bet.
Devin Smith.
My bet was Burgoyne and Williams.
Devin Smith, very much the winner there. Thank you very much for supporting my theory, gentlemen.
Yeah, no, Motlop's been completely replaceable. I will cede that. Just like Matty Broadbent.
Oh, no doubt.
Charting out his 50s. But I just wanted to make a quick announcement, Jono, before you get into the other bits. We will be having our NFL primer, our NFL fantasy primer show coming out on Wednesday. So if you're considering starting up an NFL fantasy season, we know the season starts up in late September. Something mates over the summer, or you're a fan, We've got Mike, the fantasy hitman, right from the award-winning Fantasy Footballers podcast. I had a great chat with him the other day, and so we sort of talk a few strategy theories, you know, how to set up, where to find a league, maybe if you can't actually get one going. But so if you're an NFL fantasy fan, you won't want to miss that.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm only just getting into the NFL as a sport, so not quite ready for fantasy just yet because there's, what, 10 times the amount of players in the NFL than there is AFL?
Well, yeah, but only you'd be surprised that half of them aren't, well, most of them aren't actually relevant because they're all offensive players or linemen. You really only need the skill players. You're actually talking about less than the AFL for fantasy.
There you go. Completely opposite to what I was thinking, but a lot of news coming out over the weekend. Injuries galore, people. Started off with Mark Blixarves on Friday night. It's a bit of an ankle injury. Went down in a tackle there. Came off the ground. Probably going to miss a week or two, you think. It didn't look too good. And also out of the game was one of the Crouch brothers. I can't remember who it was. Played with a fractured cheekbone for most of the game.
Brad.
It was Brad, was it? There you go. Played with a fractured cheekbone. He says he's going to have surgery this week, and he reckons he's not going to miss a game. If he does that, I'd be very surprised because that's a pretty serious injury. We saw Siri just activated on itself there. Chad Wingard twisted his ankle when Sam Frost fell on him. We do know he's out for 2 to 3 weeks. Not good for the Chad, especially those who own him heading into your finals starting this week. Dale Morris, not so much fantasy relevant, but broke both bones in his arm on Saturday afternoon up in Cairns. Not good there, so he might come back for when the Doggies play in the grand final, you would think. Lee Montagna has done a hammy. He's going to get scans on that, but they reckon it's just a standard one, so probably 2 to 3 weeks for Montagna. Michael Walters, who's been in absolute ripping fantasy form this year, has done a PCL, so with the Dockers down the bottom of the ladder, you would think that is the season for Walters. Dylan Shield copped a knock to his left leg. It was late in the game, so to wait and see on that one. Also, Darcy Moore was sent to the hospital. He copped a knee to the head, was complaining of neck pain. So, again, waiting on scans for that. And Travis Arco was KO'd in a marking contest, had his legs taken out from under him and was knocked out in that. So, not good for Travis Arco there. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and search The Draft Doctors on Facebook. But we are talking waiver wire pickups for the round 19 coming up. And when we do talk about waiver wires, we have 65% or less, just so if you're in a deeper league, it gives you a bit more of a chance to get these players. And kicking us off is Steve.
Yeah, thanks, John. Boy, guys, the waiver pool is in out more than my hair. It is bearers. Great analogy.
Great comedy.
Great.
Champagne
great
comedy.
There. Really worked hard on that one. But there are a few guys, and look, we've been mentioning them. I did want to mention also, Jonah, just if you're in a shallower league, there's probably a lot better guys than these guys are available.
Oh, most certainly.
So don't feel constrained to that. Defender, still available, 61% of leagues. He's owned. Mullet continues to bang out good scores.
I believe he still hasn't. Ownership hasn't gone up that high. It's ridiculous.
I can't believe I'm not putting on the field. That's what I can't believe.
Three Supercoach
90
tons
every week. We got 90 this week, but geez, doing nicely. Another defender, Dubster, 46% ownership. Lee Montagna's out. He is a good ball user across the halfback there. Saints probably look to get a little bit better. Who they play this week? Poor, tough matchup, but we'll see. Another St Kilda player, midfielder, Luke Dunstan. Only fifth in the league. Played really well, actually, I thought, on the weekend. Got you a nice ton. I think he's going to be important against Port Adelaide this week. I think St Kilda have struggled a little bit with the clearances. That's his area of expertise. So I think you'd pick up. Another midfielder has got defense in AFL Fantasy. That's Liam Hogan, only owned in 44%. Playing for West Coast Eagles. He's doing pretty well since he's gone to the half blind. Think it's great for Elliot Yeo scoring, but Duggan's certainly doing pretty well. Bit of a black booker for next year, I think, gentlemen. Forward, Chino, 60% ownership, just continues to get it done. Looks the goods. What a star. I've watched him play. So, to him, absolutely worth an ad. One more forward, and that is Jack Darling. He's only 41% of teams in leagues. Playing at the Lions next week over at home. Just been very consistent. He hasn't really super let you down. He's multiple goals in every game except three. That's pretty good for a forward. And, you know, I would imagine they're going to be pretty heavy favourites against the Lions, although Lions have done nicely today. So, certainly one to watch. And just, I'd monitor this situation. But if Hector, he's ruck forward. If he's on his own, he's going to score well, I would have thought. Only in 30% of leagues. He's up against Gorn this week at from Melbourne up down in the Apple Isle. So I find it hard to believe they'd send him down there on his own. Look, if it happens, it happens. We score okay. And just I'd keep a sneaky eye on David Armitage. Only owning 55% of leagues. Made his cut this week. St Kilda do need some clearance help because they're just getting in there. And we know that's David Armitage's game.
Yeah, some quality picks there. I had some of them myself. Statesman, who have you got there for your waiver wire pickups?
Yeah, one for each line here. I went for a different ruck, actually. Callum Sinclair absolutely played a blinder on the weekend against St Kilda and looks like he'll keep Kirk Tippett out for the time being, at least. Owned by 61%. Obviously, we know he gives you that sort of dual benefit of being a ruck forward. It's fair to say he hasn't played too many games like this, but for the West Coast Eagles, he was a decent scorer when he was certainly mixing his role between ruck and forward. So, be interesting to see where Sydney go with that. I went into the year thinking Kirk Tippett was going to be their number one ruckman, but certainly it's gone different angles so far this year. For a forward, I've gone Ben Brown. Averaging 85 over the past 5 weeks, only owned by 37%, and hitting some pretty good form, the big boy. For the midfield was Lukey Dunstan. I thought his role was magnificent, and with Joey Montagna out, he'll probably get a little bit more security in that team because he has been a bit of a fringe player. And defender, never thought I'd bring this man's name up, but Sean Attlee. Defender North Melbourne, owned by 27%, averaging 75 over his past five games, although it's his last four games that are of interest to me. 76, 78, 79 and 99 this week. Always a better footballer than he's ever been a fantasy player, but maybe he's learned how to build a score, gentlemen. And it might be just the answer if you're a little bit light in defence. So Sean Attlee hitting a bit of form for North Melbourne.
Yeah, also with that ball coming in there numerous amounts of times as well, certainly helps his game as well.
It does.
With my waiver wire pickups, starting off with a midfielder is Matt Rosa in 51% of teams. He's had a couple of nice scores the last couple of weeks. They're playing the Tigers. We know they're not super fantasy friendly, but if it's an open game, he's just running between the arcs, doing whatever the hell he likes, especially with the help of Riscatelli back into that side. He's been free to do what he wants, and he's also playing a little bit in defense as well. And my other one is your favorite, Steve, the ugly redhead from Richmond, Nick Vlosten, only owned in...
Hey, I said pick him up. How'd he go this week? He was bloody
best. He certainly was. Just behind Dusty Martin, actually, at 25% ownership. So if you are looking for a defender, grab my most hated player in the AFL, Nick Vlosten. And also, if he's, I'll probably mention him a little bit later on. I wouldn't waver for him, but I'm liking the look of Lewis Young from the Bulldogs, only in 17% of teams. Taking a lot of intercept marks, scoring quite nicely both formats. He's listed as a forward, but is playing defence. Look out for Lewis Young if you're desperate for a forward. They've got some pretty good matchups coming, the Western Bulldogs. But if you do like the show...
Dale Morris's...
Sorry?
Sorry to Dale Morris' injury. Give him security
too, as well. All things coming up, Lewis Young. And if you are liking the show, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you've got a few minutes, please hit the subscribe button. It means all the shows come straight to you without even having to look for them each and every week. And leave us a review. It really helps us get our brand out there and gets to more listeners. We really appreciate it. If you took the time out and just drop a two-minute review, that's all it takes out of your day. We really appreciate it. But we're talking a bit of a review of round 18. And to kick it off, it was Adelaide and Geelong on Friday night. It was actually a pretty good game, I thought. The umpire was a bit on the nose for me, but we saw Rory Sloane back to his best. It wasn't a heavy tag they put on him. It was with Blixarves and whatnot, but he came out firing, kicking the three goals, went to 169 in Supercoach, 134 Dream Team. Hugh Greenwood, they've got themselves a player there, scoring nicely in both formats. Got you the ton in Supercoach. The Crouch brothers, they've really stepped it up this year. We knew that Matt Wood as well. He's having a fantastic year, but both of them really adding to that midfield. Sauce Jacobs, got you a nice 133 Supercoach, 101 Dream Team. And Richie Douglas bobbed up with some nice scores as well, with kicking the four goals. Moving on to the Cats, Joel Salad was pretty good for the night. Get you 115 Dream Team, 127 Supercoach. There's a lot of talk about Paddy Dangerfield, whether he'll play or not. He looked absolutely fine and no bruising on that foot of his. Going big with 142 in Supercoach, 112 Dream Team, and helped out by 5 frees, 4 there, gentlemen. So not too bad for Danger Man. Mitch Duncan having a really solid year fantasy-wise. Got you 105 in both formats. He was fantastic. Blixarves, he was going really well until he went off with that injury. Got you just under a ton in Dream Team and 108 in Supercoach. And Zach Tui also got you the Supercoach ton. And Donuts Motlop, nowhere to be seen. But moving on to the Saturday game, we had the Bombers in a bit of a shootout with North Melbourne there.
Yeah, North Melbourne's form was back to earlier in the year, where they seemed to challenge opposition teams extremely well early and probably just fade a little bit late, exactly what happened. Carl Hooker had a bit of a ripper with 111. Dyson Heppel must have been the first time he's turned up for a long time, gentlemen. He's been in a bit of a form slump, but he pumped out a 101 for you. David Zaharakis, again, he's a hit-and-miss type player, but he was a hit this week with a ton. Zach Merritt was very disappointing, seeing I sold my house to get Zach Merritt in one of my leagues. I think for the 3 weeks I've had him, he's given me an 80, 110, and a 96 this week. So not the 130s and 40s I was expecting or hoping for. Brendan Goddard, again, continues in good form. He was actually a risky captain option in Statesman Skippers. He got you 93. And Joe Watson back in the team this week for a nice 82.
And how did the North boys go, Steve?
Not great. Not great. But I will say they put some fantasy scores together. Very emphasis on controlling the block we've seen from Carlton this year. And I think that might have contributed a little bit to Essendon's score. Would you agree, Statesman? The fantasy scores.
Yep, totally agree.
So there's not much you can do about that. But and also I thought Tarrant being laid out was huge as a negative. I think that certainly freed up Hooker to have a game. But anyway, the man we're talking about, Benny Brown, you brought him up, Statesman. What a fantastic year. He's coming second in the Coleman medal now. absolutely fantastic. 6 goals. Got you the 119 Dream Team, 134 Supercoach. And in this day where there's so much focus on people who can't kick accurate, he's one of the truest shots you'll find.
Good Tassie
starting from his run up from defensive 50 and slotting him foot in.
Well, he's been brought up in the extremely conservative state. Everything Ben does is particularly straight, except for his hair. We'll say Taylor Garner. I mentioned him as someone that GWS should be trying to. Josh Kelly's going to go 7 tackles to go along with 10 marks, if you don't mind. Got you the 129 Dream Team, 109 Super Coach. Trent Dumont, we've sung his praises a lot this year. Got you a ton if you've used him as a fill-in. Sam Gibson also got you that ton. Madjack Dore was the surprise solo ruck in selection news, and 97 Dream Team, 98. Certainly doing his chances no harm of continuing. I'm sure North want to see what they've got. Aaron Mullett was good again, if just a little down, but he's a defender, will accept 80 and 90 in both formats. And Jared Waite continues to just be a good forward, kick 4 goals. Phoenix wasn't great. I'll worry about what North Melbourne are going to face next week down in Tassie against the... I think these are on their way marching into the final. Certainly look to use a few Demons players next week against North.
This was the game last year where both Gorney and Goldstein kicked about 5 or 6 goals each, wasn't it? So,
I think it's fair to say they're probably in a little bit different state, so. Both teams this year.
But speaking of the D's, had the traditional 2:10 game at the MCG Saturday afternoon, taking on Port Adelaide. I didn't see this from the Demons because I tipped Port Adelaide, but they were fantastic. Michael Hibbert having a fantastic year fantasy-wise. Got you the 129 Dream Team, 140 Super Coach. Jaden Hunt got you a Dream Team ton. Dom Tyson, if you've been playing him as a fill-in, if you've got injuries, got you the Dream Team ton as well. Your boy, Jesse Hogan, finally back to a bit of form there, Steve. Boom. Got the 3 snags, just under a ton in Dream Team, and the 106 in Supercoach, so some pretty good return there. You'd definitely be rolling him out next week against North Melbourne, you would think, in Tassie.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, John.
Captain option, maybe?
We'll let the listeners... well... Who isn't a captain option, quite frankly, for Jono?
No, that's true. That is true. Looking forward to facing you in our first final this week, mate.
Can you make finals in other leagues, can you?
Super coach. Right.
That's all I'm good at.
Okay.
Clayton Oliver got you the super coach ton, and Maxi Gorn also found a bit of form as well. Up against Ryder, who's been in some good form himself, got you a super coach ton as well. And how'd the Port boys go there, Steve?
They'd be very, very disappointed, Jono. They got smashed at their brand of footy, which is contested ball and clearances. Very dirty, I would imagine. Want to be playing for St Kilda next week. They will hit very hard, I think. But anyway, the big news is Chad, but he was injured well before, well after this game was over. It was about 5 minutes into it. Paddy Ryder does continue its season, as you mentioned. Got you the tons in both formats. And he's been a league winner, I think, for a lot of people with the dual ruck forward status. Absolutely fantastic. Travis Boak had a pretty good game. Bobbed up with 4 goals. His best game for the year. I think he's had a big Dream Team game, but that was certainly his best both formats. 120 Dream Team, 114 Supercoach. Brad Ebert to the ton. Robbie Gray's back in the midfield. Started forward, but moved in there once it was clear that they needed some size in there. Got you the 31 touch in contested possessions, 9 clearances, and he led the way. But he only got you the 101 M and 90 super coach. So,
if Wingard's out, will Robbie Gray stay in the midfield mix?
You would think.
Well, no. All right, because he was in there before that injury occurred. Like, he was in there because he'd been absolutely pounded. I'm not sure what to think. I mean, it's an option because they can bring in someone like Aaron Young's pretty handy usually. Or
Archie or anyone like that. Someone like one of those type players.
Why don't they send Boak in there?
Boak just washed. Well, I mean, they've had the... I mean, this is the thing. They've sort of been back and had a great year with the mix they've had. Like, you know,
I just think it's pretty stubborn. If you're struggling, you're not winning the contested ball. He was one of the best contested midfielders going around the competition. Why don't you throw him in there for 5 minutes, see if he makes a change?
I think he's slow when he's in there.
Okay.
I know what you're saying, but I don't know. They put him in there and he doesn't do much, and they put him forward and he doesn't. Just inspirational leadership. I don't know. I've heard to me. Look, there's not too much to write home about for Port. Like they've just got beat their own game. I think Melbourne are on the way up, boys. I'd be worried about Melbourne going into the finals. They get their back together and healthy, they'll make some noise.
Yeah, and moving on to the next game with the Doggies taking on Gold Coast up in sunny Cairns. It was a pretty easy win for the Dogs. Lucky Hunter found a bit of fantasy form, getting you 115 in both formats. That's once in a blue moon for Lucky, because I'm sick and tired of owning him and not having him on my field when he does this. Liam Picken, again, I had him in one of our leagues, decided to drop him because his scoring wasn't there, and bobbed up with six snags and got you 115 as well. So well done to Liam Picken there. Shane Biggs was just intercepting everything left, right, and centre coming into that defensive 50. Got you 110 in both formats, so because Easton Wood was pushed forward there. So looks like Biggsy's and Lewis Young are going to be those interceptors there. Luke Dalhouse back into some scoring form as well with a 110 and 115 in Supercoach. Jack McRae was pretty solid with a ton in Supercoach as well as Mitch Wallace got you a nice 124 there in Supercoach as well. And your boy, Toby McLean, still getting it done with some nice scores in the 90s there. And Jack Redpath as well took about 10 marks, kicked a couple of goals as well for a nice score. But I don't think there was too much to write home about on the Gold Coast side there, Statesman.
Yes, my report on the Gold Coast, both the way they played and their fantasy scores, is nothing to see here.
Not even your boy Aaron Hall, what did he do? Nothing?
Oh, he scored a 92, but he'll be lucky if he's in the team next week. Played two outside, made a lot of mistakes. Had two with a ton, Martin Fiorini, both tonned up. Hall and Miller were okay. 92 and 86. Witz was really disappointing, even though he dominated the ruck hit-outs. He just didn't get much around the ground for the game, and he scored a 78. Lynch did a bit of cleaning up in defence, but I don't think he did much up forward from my recollection at all. And Dave Swallow is just having one of those years, mid-80s, disappointing on the output we know he could do. A couple of times they screened over to the coach's box, and I was surprised Rocket was still in there.
Yeah, maybe the line was too long for the bar, and I couldn't get a drink. But they were quite horrible. The Gold Coast with lots of turnovers there, and the Dogs certainly made them pay for it. Moving on, sorry.
Certainly did.
Moving on to Saturday night in the Pride game at the SCG, we had the Sydney Swans taking on the Saints, and it's fair to say this game was, I thought, pretty done and dusted early on with the Swans kicking away quite easily.
Yeah, quite a completely different game than what we saw at the Gold Coast. This was full of spirit, fantastic show. In Sydney, 11, last 11 games, 10 wins, one loss, and that one loss was to Hawthorn, would you believe it, when they were at their lowest of lows. But Sydney Swans were quite remarkable, and it was actually an even spread. The only person that didn't perform at all was Zach Jones. Would you believe it? He was in my team. For some reason, only 60 minutes game time for Zach Jones. So he must be carrying something, which was a bit odd. He scored you a lovely 31, and wasn't I cursing that for most of the evening? Other than that, Callum Sinclair, who we talked about before, was magnificent up forward. I think he booted six for his score of 117 and was just marking everything. Was leading them a merry dance, their defence. Luke Parker continued to be in good form. Not huge numbers. None of the midfielders were. Parker, 95. Kennedy, 86. Hanbury, 81. McVeigh, 78, and McVeigh's really stolen our good young mate's role, unfortunately. And Heaney, 72, who got stuck up forward. So now all those older midfielders are back. He's just getting less and less rotation through the mids. Lance, Buddy Franklin was quite good. A couple of gifts from the umpires yet again. He's had a couple of good weeks run there. Scored you a 90. Andy Hewitt, who seems to get more midfield than the young guns, got 78 himself.
And on the other side, a bit like your Gold Coast Suns there, Stateman, there was not much to write home about with the Saints. Only one super coach ton in this game, that was to Shane Savage, who got you 107 and 103 in Dream Team. Luke Dunstan, as we mentioned in the waiver wire pickups, scored you quite well in Dream Team with 107 there, only the 86 in Supercoach. Jack Steele got you some scores in the 90s, and Seb Ross also got you the Dream Team ton as well, and was scores in the 90s, but not too much to write home about there for the Saints at all. The other game on Saturday night was Hawthorn taking on Frio over at Perth. Clarko's 300th game, and the Hawks got it done pretty easily over there. Jack Gunston on the big super ground over there got you 132 Dream Team, 146 Super Coach. Back into a little bit of form there for Gunston. Tommy Mitchell just might as write his name down every single week as he's been a star for the Hawks. Got you 130 and 126. Luke Bruce, who had as a late week pickup, got you that Super Coach ton and 107 in Dream Team. I think we actually had a couple of questions this week about some matchups with that Steve, and I hope we said to play Bruce.
I think he was.
Oh, so well done. Hopefully got you the win in that game. Sicily, after having a little temper tantrum, got you a nice 104 in both formats. Big Boy McAvoy got you a super coach ton, as did Blake Hardwick, who's coming along nicely. And Ricky Henderson got you 103 in Dream Team. He's had a couple of nice scores this year as well.
And we did get some questions with regards to a couple of cheaper line defenders. And I backed in Ryan Burton to have a huge one this weekend because Frio's been giving up so many points to the defence. Little did I know that Clarko was going to roll back Jack Gunston, who ended up getting all that free and loose ball and took the overhead mark. So I think Gunston got 110 plus. Poor old Burton had to do a roll rather than play his running game and only got the 72.
Yeah, Gunston's been spending a fair bit of time in the last month. So I'm actually starting to wonder if he'll get DF next year.
Juicy. Very juicy. But I'm guessing there's not much to write home with the Frio Dockers there, Statesman.
Well, we've found an absolute stud of a AFL fantasy player in Connor Blakely, and his role in defence just suits him to a T. He's taken over Doherty's role, where he's scoring about 125 average over the past 5 weeks, while Doherty at Carlton's been, for some odd reason, been slinking into the midfield and getting his scores dropping by 20, 30 points a week. But Connor Blakely's been absolutely sensational. 115, 149, and this week 114. He's going to be a fantasy stud for a long, long time. Lockie Neal, 95, but it looked like he was everywhere. I was quite amazed every time I looked at the scores and he was getting nothing racked up there. Nat Fyfe playing well again, although got a fair bit of attention against Hawthorn for his 88. Darcy, the ruckman, looks like he's going to be an absolute jet, 85, so he's averaging about the 88 mark. So your first year as a ruckman, that's superb. I'd love to have a look at Brody Grundy, who's probably the youngest big ruckman who can rack them up. I'm sure in his first season he wasn't averaging in the 80s. Brad Hill continues decent form, only 77 this week. And, of course, if your name's Lockie and you play for Frio, you're going well, with Weller getting 76, which is spot on his average.
Was that Lockie Neal, was it?
Lockie Weller.
Ah, sorry.
Lockie Neal was averaging 110, higher than Doherty for the last 2 weeks.
Certainly is.
Averaged 70 in his first year, which had six
and
games.
Would have been about 90 in his second.
Went back to 60.
Oh, was it third year?
You got to remember, he was splitting with Witzel, remember?
Ah, yes, of course.
So,
and of course, they would have done the old vest thing too back in those days.
They would have.
They certainly would have.
90 in his third year.
30, yep.
But moving on to the Sunday games, we had the Tigers taking on GWS. It looked like GWS was going to run away with it, but the rains fell, and Dusty Martin went absolutely crazy in that second quarter. I think he racked up 75 Supercoach points just in the second quarter alone, so, and the Tigers got a good win at the MCG.
Yeah, pressure and scrap in the wet is a recipe for success. The heartless corporate abomination. That's too strong.
No, just about right. Strong.
Anyway, just about right. Look, one team wanted to get their hands dirty, and that was Richmond, and they were fantastic at the pressure. As you mentioned, Dusty was the second quarter. Got you the 116 Dream Team, 150 Supercoach, and probably two votes behind Nick Loston, I would have thought. Trent Cotchin, I thought he lived him in the second quarter as well. He's quietly having a ripping season. He gave him a Brownlow medal. They knew it was going to be a good 109 Dream Team, 100 Supercoach. The aforementioned Nick Loston, absolute cross half back. He was mopping up everything. We did mention him last week. Got you the 87 Dream Team, 112 Supercoach. I'd look to get him in. There's zero chance that they can bring back Bashahuli with Nick Vlosten in this kind of form. So just keep him on your bench in our finals matchup next week. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry, because he's 4 weeks out, no fitness, back through the Magoos, will he?
Well, they'd be better off bringing Taylor Hunt in. He's fitter than... well, Brown continues his fine season, especially in the wet. It wasn't really a game for him, but wasn't a lot. Look, there wasn't a lot of big score game. The conditions just didn't allow it. But on the GWS side, rest easy, GWS fan. Anyone who owns Zach Williams, because he was playing halfback all day and he just dominated. 102 Dream Team, 139 Supercoach, if you don't mind. Playing against Fremantle next week. He's a genuine captain option. Callum Ward continues his form. 114 Dream Team, 119 Supercoach. In these conditions, wouldn't you think Callum Ward would have more than two tackles?
I was looking at those stats. I'm like, where the hell did he build his score from? It was the 30-odd disposals he had and the goal, but no tackle. That's just crazy.
Hey, stop bagging my best averaging player over the past 5 weeks.
This is Callum Ward. Well, I'm not bad. Well, yeah. Because there was a lot of bad tacklers in this. Like, Toby Green only had one tackle just to go along with his report. there was a lot of bad tackling performances in the wet, which, bad signs, I think. Phil Davis, he had a really good game holding Jay Rood. A lot of intercept possessions, 97 Dream Team, 127 Supercoach. Shane Mumford continues to be a pretty consistent ruck option. Look, there was a few guys who were really well held, but absolutely junked it up. And I'm talking about Josh Kelly, Lockie Whitfield, and not knocking, but Devin Smith did as well. Now we make fun of it, but look, if these guys are junking you up and getting you the 85 to 100 scores, then good on them, because three guys were pretty poor for three quarters. Also news, Steve Coniglio played in this, and Brett Delidio has emerged from the dead and played half a game.
He actually got through half a game.
Apparently very happy about it. Let everyone know Coniglio will probably come back in next week, think. Brett Delidio, we might actually see him in an AFL game before the end of the year.
And to work on my theory, you'd have to average about 280 for the remainder of the season to pass Dale House.
Wasn't he the person you picked up to place instead of Ablett?
Yeah, yes.
You could use him to fill in instead of Ablett.
Well, if he was playing, I would have been right, because Dale House had a shock in mid-year. Great to see him back this week.
But moving on to the middle game at Etihad Stadium, where the Pies, two down on the bench, coaching, Bucks coaching for his career, Mick Malthouse in the stands looking to take over yet again, come from behind win. Steve was jumping around like a crazy person. It was actually a really good win.
Yeah, that's correct, John. I was absolutely devastated. We've moved back another slot in the draft. Continue to win meaningless games. Don't know what's... No, I'm serious. Ah, that's it's a Well done to them. Taylor Adams, I thought, was absolutely huge. Kicked over the ton, but I thought he was absolutely instrumental. Brody Grundy destroyed the ruckless West Coast Eagles with his 127 Dream Team, 125 Supercoach. Adam Treloar, Jack Crisp, and Roskin Elliott all got you nice scores in both forms of the game. Ben Reid continues to play as a forward. Not really super fantasy relevant now and forward, but that is a structural change they've made. But the man of the moment is Jordan DeGoey. I actually thought the mid-time shoot through the roof with Pendlebury. He played a match-winning turn up forward, kicking the four goals. He was huge, 20 to 4 goals, 96 Dream Team, 130 per coach. And he's a black book of next year, absolutely.
And will also keep his forward status because of that game. Moving on to West Coast Eagles before Steve dies. Shannon Hearn played well in defence. Couple of weeks, his massive scores, 117 this week. Jack Retton performed really well as his inside mid-role for 105. Dom Sheed, as that link-up player, was doing very well, 102. Luke Shuey had a decent game, was a bit sore for 99. Elliot Yeo was back and in decent fantasy form with 97, and JJK for 91. And, of course, Cough Cough, oh bugger, Andrew Gaff got tagged and only 51.
And earned the last couple of weeks.
Massive, 140, I think, or 135 the week before, and 117 this week. Magnificent effort.
Just racking up those marks left, right, and centre, and then he's going to throw in a 40 somewhere along the line.
No doubt.
Actually, a really good fantasy player what, 5 or 6 years ago.
They should go back to tagging him rather than Elliot Yeo.
And Gaff.
Gaff.
And the last game of the round, it was a bit of a flip of the coin to see who the hell was going to win this game, but it was the Brisbane Lions up at the Gabba, and it seems Tom Rockliffe is no longer fantasy relevant.
Yeah, it appears that way. A tagging job today on Bryce Gibbs, and did a magnificent job. Do you know, if you ever never want to do the dishes again, you just don't do the dishes properly. Tommy Rockliffe has got a role for the remainder of the year because he did a brilliant job. He actually, I will say, when the game was up for grabs the last couple of minutes, he seemed to be starting running off and collecting up disposals, which nearly destroyed a matchup for me. But he scored a massive 44 points.
Some Tommy people would Rockliffe. Have had captain on that too.
Mind you, some people did have captain on his opponent, Mr. Bryce Gibbs, who didn't score much more. And again, both of their scores seemed to elevate in the last quarter. But Dane Beams was magnificent for his 139, certainly well and truly back in form. Zorko was absolutely weird game. 80-odd in the first half and finished with 119. He might be, and I will say might be, looked at by the review panel as well. Got a bit touchy when the boys were a fair bit ahead, which probably didn't help his team, but they did get by. Sam Mays was magnificent for 113. Lester, who we've talked about being available on the waiver wire, must be Victoria. Everyone getting a bit sick there, boys. Steph Martin looked magnificent, but just really didn't rack up the big score. But he was against Cruiser. He got 99. Witherden, remarkable first few games from this young man, 97. And that takes his average around the 90 mark. Lewis Taylor was a good link-up form, got 88. And Daniel Rich continue his mid-range form with 85.
How do you think the Lions are going to go next year when they get the likes of Robinson, Christensen, and to an extent Tommy Bell back?
Yeah, I don't think that they're huge gains for them, to be quite honest. It's all about the kids. So I think they're actually doing a better job now with those sort of older, no offence, mid-range, good average players, Jack Dyer would have said, being out of the team. It's actually how the key position players develop. Hipwood's going to be something special. We're unsure about how Shackey's going to go, but he's got all the talent in the world. Let's see if it delivers. That sort of tall defensive line they seem to have is quite good. Now we're seeing Witherden, we're seeing Ainsworth. Sorry, that's Gold Coast, my apologies. Berry looks quite impressive. So they've got these host of young players, and I think they're the ones that take the next step, not bringing back the mid-range players.
Yep, fair enough. Just thought I'd ask, because we do know Mitch Robinson's got some fantasy value out there.
Yeah, I even thought that Bell would struggle to make this team this year, but when he was fit, he was brought in. I think games into the young kids, and that's what they're going to do. And with the new coach, I think that's going to be the way forward. And they're good.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Steve, got a bit of a dilemma here today. I'm on the couch. I'm hungover as hell. Down at the supermarket. I've got my chicken twisties. There's only one twisties. But no, Mrs. Crockett comes out. She's got the cheese twisties, claiming that they are the best. I said, if I'd known this... She's not listening, that's right. If I'd known this before we got married, there would be no marriage whatsoever, because chicken is obviously the best.
Well, obviously, you're not going to get an argument from me.
You will from me. Chicken should never be considered until you eat a chicken one, and then you realise how nice they are. I've told you this before, gentlemen.
Chicken is the only twisties you can have. The only one. But, Steve, you had some thoughts about Jesse Hogan, did you? You mentioned earlier...
Well, I'll just quickly go through Carlton.
Oh, okay. Yeah, why not?
No Dream Team tons. And again, what Carlton? Brisbane played the heavy ball control game that North Melbourne played on Essendon, which is what Carlton have been doing to teams all year. So they didn't get you many fairness relevant scores. They did obviously got blitzed at the start of the match, but did fight back late to make it somewhat interesting. But, continues his fine season. Charlie Curnow is something else. What a star he's got. Doherty found a way to give a supercoach ton. Sam Kerridge continues to give you good Sam Kerridge-like scores. And that's about it. Bryce Gibbs got destroyed, tagged into the ground. So look out for when he's... Because that seemed to be a pretty handy tactic. And the season he's having, I'm surprised that teams haven't tried it more.
Scott Selwood go to him next week, you think?
Well, quite possibly. I mean, Scott Selwood's terrible, so I'd give him a roll. Statesman, Andrew Gaff might get Tommy Rock next week.
Yes, he might do. But I was actually thinking, and Bryce Gibbs very much played an inside role, so he's played on ball. So I just wondered whether they'll go the on-ball option and maybe go a Shuey type.
Maybe.
If he plays.
Shuey's kind of in and out anyway.
Yeah.
And if Shuey plays, because he did cop a knock late in that game against the Pies as well, so wait and see with Shuey.
Sam Mitchell is who he'll tag.
You can't tag Sam Mitchell.
I think they'll give it a shot.
Okay. Be interesting. So...
Oh, you want to talk about our matchup?
I do want to talk about the matchup. I outscored you this week, so that means I'm going to lose.
Oh, with skill and great coaching moves.
Hey, Luke Bruce.
You get the laid out, so you bloody get the bench score of Lockie.
Well, it was either playing Miles or Hunter anyway.
Well, what was Miles? Well, what was Miles going to score in the wet?
200.
Four. All right, so it's on me and Jono in our first final next week in their league of record. I finished second, you finished third. Both had pretty good weeks this week.
We did.
So we got up on it.
The classic Palmer at the classic Palmer always.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
So just hopefully bash us straight in to cover that hack in Bernie Vince, and it's all she wrote.
That's fair enough. I'll be interested to see what my moves are. Tommy Bell Chambers or Steph Martin?
Yeah, you might
rock.
Doggies are playing Essendon. Eddie had it. Has to be TBC, I'd say.
Do you want to do a trade? I'll trade you Tommy
Bell Chambers. I certainly do need a rock because Zach Smith.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
Well, I could pick up Billy Longhead, there you go on the weekend. Just give me something.
Pick up, what's his name? Callum Sinclair. He'll do all right. Yeah, yeah. Playing forward against, who are they playing? Hawthorn?
Big boy gave up some points on the weekend to Darcy and that, so why not? We're just going to bring in...
All right, well, we've got a
punter. Going to bring in all the rucks this week just to screw me over.
Yeah, that's right. I'll play seven rucks in our one ruck league. I beat you in the league this week.
Yeah, my team's injury, too many injuries, and I think I only scored 2 tons for the...
I had Bryce Gibbs captain.
I had Doherty, so at least he got me something. That wraps up the show for this week. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got Steve's A Dozen Deals dropping, Statesman Skippers, and my late week pickup, so check it out. And check us out on Facebook, just search The Draft Doctors there. And if you are starting your finals this week, good luck. Hopefully we can give you some good advice to bring home that trophy. And if you have played and finished your finals, well done if you did win. Please do put those pictures of you holding the trophy up on social media so we can share it with the world and just to rub some more salt into the wounds of those you have defeated. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.